Good morning. I am glad to be with you. When you get my age, you're glad to be anywhere. Sometimes you just don't know where you are. We had about an 8-hour drive down, and I have a feeling it's going to be about that same time back. So we're going to grab a bite to eat and a little fellowship with you, and then I'm going to change clothes and we'll hit the road. But before we do anything, I want to play a little bit a game, and I got some valuable prizes for you, and I need a lovely assistant who will come. And we got some prizes here, very valuable. They're so valuable, we got a hold of the Brinks Security Company, and they'll see you home with them if you win. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the third verse. I'm glad I'm not the third verse. You're left out of everything. First, second, last, leave out the third verse. So I'm going to read some third verses and see if you recognize it. If you recognize it, raise your hand. My lovely assistant, come here and tell me if they know this. Do they know that hymn right there?
They should know it.
They should. Okay. Raise your hand. He will acknowledge you. And if you know the hymn, then, of course, you win a prize. Now, if you speak out without raising your hand, we're going to have to take disciplinary action. So be sure and raise your hand before you speak, okay? And so here you go, third verse of a hymn that you should know according to your lovely sister. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine and rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain.
There's room at the cross for you.
Room at the cross for you. Very well. Very
well.
All right. All right. Tell me if you understand this one here, or if they should know this one here. Okay, third verse. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Now, you're eliminated on this one. Time for me will be no more. We had a young man that got his cell phone out and started looking his stuff up. Don't do that. Okay. When my feeble life is o'er and time for me will be no more, guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Very good. And don't forget now to wait for the Brinks security when you get home. Okay. All right. Do they know this one here? I'm sure they do.
Yeah, if they don't, we have issues.
Okay. All right. And if you don't get it, my lovely assistant gets the prize. Okay, here it is. Third verse. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's...
There, is it whiter than snow?
What'd he say?
Whiter than snow? No.
No, that's a good hymn, but that's not it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read the second verse. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thy power alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Ray, what is... What's she say? What'd she say?
Paid it all.
Huh?
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. That's right. So you're in charge, whatever happens here. Okay. All right.
We'll exercise grace.
Okay.
Oh, he wasn't in here when
you know. I get since we've been in Barnabas Ministries, I do get the privilege of traveling, and New York is different than any other state. Now, upstate New York, it's got pristine forests and all that. That's nice. But there is some city folks are a little weird. And I've had the privilege of going up there to speak at the New York camp meeting at the Mountain View camp. And so, but I was down in town, Danville, and come out of a store. And there was a policeman writing a ticket. And I said, surely you're not going to write a ticket for a little overtime parking. With the attitude, he looked at me and went back to writing. No answer. Well, if you don't have stress in your day, I'll help. So I said, I thought you had to be in shape to be a policeman. Kept writing. And wouldn't answer me. So I said, your eyes are glazed. Have you been eating donuts? And my friend said, then if you don't shut up, he's going to keep writing the ticket. And I said, I don't care. That's not my car. I'm parked from the car. You got to make your own fun. And while I was there, I got in a cab. And I reached up and tabbed the driver on the shoulder, and he let out a blood-curdling scream, went up over the curb, knocked out a couple parking meters, stopped short of a plate glass window, and put his head down on the steering wheel. And they come up, he's out of breath, and I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. He said, it's not your fault. This is my first day as a cab driver. I drove a hearse for years. And you got to make your own fun everywhere you go. If you have your pre-dusted Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to share a message with you that I was almost forced into doing the research on. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul writing, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through and in all. Would you bow with me? Father, again, we come into your presence in prayer. And thank you for the privilege of hearing our request. And I pray, Father, as we share together in this time, that Jesus Christ will be honored. Your saints will be strengthened. Those outside of Christ may be here and be drawn unto him. And that we all might bring glory to you by the life we live and the things we say and things we do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had mentioned Don Nash, the Greek professor at Kentucky Christian College. I never had him for class. I didn't go to that college, but we became friends. And he's very unusual. And whenever he preaches, he sometimes wanders off on little side avenues because he got his mind so full of things. And we was at Hillsborough Family Camp. Now, at that time, Hillsborough Family Camp would run 3,000 to 4,000. And I was sitting down on the front row over here to his left, and he would read, and then he would preach, and then he'd think of something. He'd go off on a little avenue and come back. Well, he read a scripture, and he stopped. And he had the ability to block out like it was nobody ever him. And he could see he just stopped and had this puzzled look on his face, and he said, wonder why God said so much to Christians about baptism when they've already been baptized. Huh. And then he went on. Well, my mind went off in Never Never Land. I thought, that's a good question. Why did you bring it up? You're not going to answer it. And so he never did. So I went home, and I thought, there's got to be an answer to that. So I did my study. Well, the next year, a year later, Dean Mills invited me to be on the program. So I told him, I'm going to try to answer the question that Professor Nash asked, why does God say so much about baptism to people who have already been baptized? Well, one of the conclusions I come to, and I'll give you some points on this in a moment, but one of the conclusions I come to is sometimes all we see about baptism is the water. Sometimes all we see about fellowship is the food. And all we miss is the point. There's more to it than just water. There's more to the time we spend over food than just the food. Here's the time to get to know each other. We relax and get them. If you want to meet somebody new, you got the supper with them. That way you learn more about them. And so fellowship is a whole lot more than the food, and baptism is a whole lot more than water. So we don't want to miss the point. So I want to share with you one of the reasons. You can mark these down. Number one, to remind us of our unity in diversity. We are as different as night and day. It says here, for we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are diverse. Now, he wrote this to a church at Corinth. But when somebody says, I want to be the church like in the Bible, which church are you talking about? The Corinthians had all kinds of problems. The Thessalonians, they were divided over the resurrection. Galatians are all upset about the law. But here's what they had there. They had immorality in that congregation. They had lawsuits with one another. They had worship problems. They were arguing over what food could be eaten and what could not. They argued over who baptized them and who baptized the other person. They were ethnically, culturally, and socially, and rank in society, different. Corinth was a seaport on the north and the south. It jutted out into the water, and it was large. It was the Cleveland, Ohio of that day. Now, you don't want to live in Cleveland. Go around it if you can. I don't want to live there. The fellow went up there and had a flat tire, so he got out of his jacket and jacked up the back, and as he was working on a tire, he noticed his car was shaking, and there was a guy up on the front. He said, "You can get the back tires. I'll get the front." It's still on his tires while he was there, right there alongside the highway. Corinth was that way. But he said to those who have been baptized into Christ, "You were baptized into one body, for we are all baptized into Christ." I heard a story about a bar. I don't know where preacher hear all these bar jokes, but we hear it. There was a fellow just throwing them down in the bar. And pretty soon another fellow walked in. They struck up a conversation. And he said to him, "You got an accent. Are you from Ireland?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm Irish." He said, "Whereabouts?" He said, "Dublin." "I'm from Dublin. Where'd you go to school?" He said, "St. Mary's." "I graduated." "What year?" He said, "64. "I graduated in 64. Another fellow walked in and said to the bartender, "Anything new?" He said, "No, the O'Leary twins are drunk again." And recognized their oneness. And the same thing happens in the church. We don't recognize that we are one and our origin is at the same place when we were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, we are perfectly united. There are people who unite because they belong to the same union. There will be people who unite because they both play golf. There'll be guys who unite because they both go turkey hunting. We unite. Well, I remember back when Volkswagen bugs were first introduced in the United States. They were novelty. And if they go down the hall, you'd see one honk the other. And the only thing they had in common is they both had a Volkswagen. And they will unite over stuff like that. And yet, in the church sometimes, we have divisions over senseless things. And he was reminded, "Don't you know that you're united in Christ? You're all baptized into one body." And he told him, he said, "Say the same thing." It doesn't mean they were exactly alike. But when it comes to the Word of God and those kinds of experiences, at least say the same time. Be of one mind. Think for the same purpose and for the same appreciation. Let no divisions be among you. Now, we're not cookie cutters. We're not cookie cutter Christians. We're as different as night and day. And I thank God we are. And we're very, very diverse. And we need to appreciate that. But the Lord looked upon the heart, etc. It says, "Is Christ divided? Who crucified you? In whose name were you baptized?" Don't you realize you have more in common than you do separate? My wife and I are different. I snuck this tie into my suitcase. Often, I'll be dressing and I'll put my tie on and she'll walk in and give us that wife sarcastic look. You know, look at me and go over and get another tie and lay it all across the bed, which means you're not wearing that tie with that suit, but this tie on. And so I'm my own man. So I hide and make what I want. But we're different. But we're one. And a lot of people get married and the two should become one. They want to argue over which one. One baptism. It says keep the unity. You need to understand that. And so we're all different. It says don't make the unity. You are you. So whenever they were having divisions, what did he talk about? He said, "Don't you remember what happened here? Don't you know that you all were made one when you came out of that water? Don't break the unity. Keep it." Then he also talked to a church that was arguing over the resurrection, 1 Thessalonians. And he said, "Don't you know if you're baptized into him, you're going to be in the resurrection." He took them back to that water to remind them something bigger than getting wet happened there. And we need to understand that. If you would, turn your predestined Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6. They were starting to behave in an ungodly way or using the grace of God for an excuse. And so in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We have died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life. Now, he's not talking about the future resurrection that's going to happen. He's talking about the resurrected life we live now. And he said, you can't go back to sinning because something happened here. You buried that old person. Now let's walk like a new person. And that's exactly what he's saying here. And so our problem is sometimes we don't die to ourselves. A fellow had him a dog. And he went to the store and he got him a box of Dove soap. He said, are you doing the clothing? He said, no, I'm going to wash the dog. He said, that's going to kill your dog. He said, no, I don't think so. I'm going to wash him off. Saw him later. He says, how's your dog? He said, he's dead. He said, that soap killed him. He said, no. He said, I think it was the rinse cycle that got him. Our problem is we got wet, but we're raised to walk in a newness of life. That's what he's talking about. You die with Christ, baptized into his death, buried with him, raised to walk in a newness of life. We died and now alive, dead to sins, but made alive in God through Christ Jesus, having been buried, raised again. So our identity is with him. And he talks about the future resurrection in the same sense. In 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter, one of the longest chapters in that book, is on the resurrection. And the very center one, verse 29, talks about this very thing. And it goes back to your baptism. If you're buried with him, you will be raised. And if you were buried with him, you are raised. And so we need to understand that we did a little bit more than that. It was no church ceremony. The church didn't come up with this idea. Jesus Christ came up with that idea. Go into all the world. Be baptized. Then he told Peter what to say on the day of Pentecost. Repent. Be baptized. So we need to understand that he's talking to Christians. And when they had trouble getting along with each other, he took them back to the baptism. When they had trouble with sin, he took them back to the baptism. When they had trouble about the future resurrection, he took them back to the baptism. A whole lot more happened there than we can perhaps comprehend. And so that's why he kept telling them about that. He also reminded them that you're not under the law anymore. So Calvinism says baptism is a word. I'm going to refute that. Do you have a moment? Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. I want to read this slowly, so you can comprehend it. Galatians 3:26. I want you to listen carefully and let the Bible speak. Don't assume what it's going to say. Just listen to the words that are spoken when someone says baptism is a work and you're not saved by works. I want you to listen to this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. 26. You are all sons of God. Now, the word sons there could be children, men and women. You are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Let me read it again. That word for is a Greek word that has two interpretations. One is for, here's the other one. You are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, because all of you were baptized into Christ. You've clothed yourself. Baptism is not a work. It is an act of faith. You are children of God by faith because that's what you did. He took them back to the baptism to remind them of that and know that they were raised to walk in a newness of life. And we need to understand that. For you're all sons of God. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let me share something with you, verses 1 through 2. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under a cloud, and they all passed through the sea coming out of Egypt. They were all baptized into Moses, in a cloud, in the sea, and they all ate of the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God wasn't pleased with them and how they acted after it. There was a baptism. Baptism separated them from the drudgery and the slavery of Egypt. And when they passed through the sea, they were free from that. And he said, this is what baptism does for us. It takes, I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I couldn't any. Nobody here has kept one. You haven't kept one of the Ten Commandments. Now prove it. Do you really, are you egotistical enough to think that you have loved the Lord with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength? And all, do you think you're that good? I doubt it. Well, wait a minute. I haven't killed anybody. If you ever had hatred in your heart, you've committed murder. But I haven't committed a drunk. If you've ever looked on someone of the opposite gender with that thought, you did it already. We have broken them all. And if you only broke one, I have a string of pearls, imagine here. And if I cut, if I let one go, all of them go. He says, if you broke one, you broke them all. We broke them all anyway. So we're baptized to get out from underneath the bondage of the law. I'm not under the law anymore. We're baptized by the Spirit. Colossians 2:13, dead in sin, but forgiven. Verse 14, having canceled the Old Testament law. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism. Every time there's a problem in church, he reminds them, don't you know what you did here? That's supposed to be a new beginning. You're not under the law. You got to quit sinning. You only live a resurrected life. There's no division. We're all alike. And this right here is a reminder of that. And we make light of it. We need to understand that's not true. Now I'm going to take you to a text, and I hope you never forget this. 1 Peter. I'm going to read it, then I'll try to illustrate it. You know why people lick their fingers when they turn the page of the Bible? Because the Bible's finger-licking good. All right. I'm going to start with verse 17 in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's just let the words speak for themselves. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than to doing evil. Now, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous, him, for the unrighteous, us, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body and made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached the spirits in prison. Now, that's a whole other thing, and I won't go into that right now. Who disobeyed long ago while God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Now listen to me carefully. In it, in what? The ark. Only a few people, eight in all. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Mrs. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All were saved. Through water. And that water, what water? The flood. Symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of your conscience. Now, how did it save us through water? Let me give you a visual. Here is the ark. Now, I think it was actually larger than this, but this is a symbol. And God is condemning the earth. He said, get in the ark. When he got in the ark, he brought a flood. He separated the ark from the condemnation. They were saved through water. The water separated them from the condemnation. And that water symbolizes baptism that now saves you and I. Could it be any clearer? We'll put it in kindergarten language when they say, well, he's not talking about water baptism. That's exactly what he is talking about. When he said that it's a symbol, he's not talking about baptism. He said this water is a symbol of that. And yet we have those that say, well, baptism is just a symbol. Then you don't know much. Or you're ignoring Bible. They were saved through water because it separated them from the condemnation he was bringing upon the earth. When we come up out of that baptism, that water has separated us from the condemnation, our sin. When Moses and them came through the water, that water separated them from the condemnation and the slavery of their old life. Now, what about that is difficult to understand? If you make up your mind ahead of time what the Bible says, of course it don't make sense. But if you wait and let the Bible tell you what it means, you know the Bible sheds a lot of light on commentaries. We just listen and learn. The Bible can teach us a lot. So it says the flood is the symbol. And what does it say? It says it cleanses our conscience, because I remember when after I was baptized, one of my competitors in business years ago, before I became a Christian, I was telling him, witnessing him what happened in my conversion. And he said, "You've been brainwashed." And I said, "My brain needed washed, and so does yours." Yeah, it did, through baptism. Because now I have a clear conscience. It wasn't the water. It was the act of obedience to God. There was a fellow thumbing along the road. Along come a fellow on a motorcycle. Had one of them German helmets with the spikes sticking out the top. Big beard. Not like old Luke. When he smiled, you could see the bugs in his teeth. Driving. So he pulled over and says, "Get on." He said, "I don't know if I want to get on that motorcycle or not." He says, "You'll be okay. I know what I'm doing." "Yeah, okay. I'm not going far." So he got on, and they didn't go very far until the guy started pounding on the shoulder of the guy with the motorcycle, and he said, "What is it?" And so he pulled over. He said, "I'm freezing to death back here." He said, "Take that jacket off." So he took it off, and he said, "I put your sleeves in it, and I'll button down the back, and that cold won't go down your neck and freeze you to death. You'll be okay." So he buttoned up the back, and the guy got back on. And pretty soon he had the sense, the cycle guy, that there was nobody there, so he reached back, and the guy was gone. So he turned around and went back, and he came, saw him laying alongside the road, but there's a farmer with a pitchfork in his hand just looking down at him. And he pulled up the motorcycle and he said, "Well, how is it?" He said, "Well, I think he's going to live, but I was worried for a while. Now that I got his head turned around the way it ought to be, I think he's going to be all right." I'm telling you, when we get our head turned around all right, I think we'll be all right. We're baptized, which means we're not under the law. Baptized, I'm walking in a resurrected life, but I'm going to have another resurrection later on. I was baptized into the unity with you all. I was buried with Christ and be raised with him. And that separated me from the condemnation just like it did here. I want to take you to one more scripture, and I'll give you one illustration. Then you could eat potato salad. And so it tells us in Luke, I want to read Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Read it slowly again. Let the Bible talk. It does a good job. Luke 7, 30. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Let me ask you a question. They rejected God's purpose because they wouldn't be baptized by John. Which is greater, the baptism of John or the baptism of Jesus? If they were rejected because they turned down the baptism of John, what greater condemnation to direct the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me say it one more time. If all you see is water, we just missed the whole point. It does a lot of things. It's crowded in that baptistry. Well, it's you, and it's one that's baptizing you, and it's the angels rejoicing, and it's the Holy Spirit getting involved in a whole new life. There's a lot of things happening there. One more illustration. There were three boys applying for a job at the telegraph office. You know, that dots and dash thing. And say they were all qualified, they were all the same age, equal intelligent, equal background, checked out perfectly. They said, "You're all qualified equally, and I'm going to leave the room, make up my mind, which one of you are hired, and I'll come back." So he left, and they were sitting there listening to the ticker tape go on and looking at each other and tapping. Pretty soon, one of them got up and walked out. And the other two smiled, and there's it down to two. Pretty soon, the fellow who was doing the hiring came back in, and he said, "Well, I made up my mind. It's that young man that left. He's got the job. You all can go home now." He said, "Wait a minute." He left. We waited. He said, "While you were waiting, there was a message coming over the ticker. It says, if you hear this message, come outside. You have the job." He got the message. A lot of people sit and all they hear is the noise. Then we get the message. If you're baptized into Christ, you're not just become a part of the local congregation. You're in Christ, walking in a new life, united with all the others in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day you'll be resurrected. You're not under the law of the Old Testament. You're living in a state of grace. That's why the Bible says so much to Christians about baptism. It's a reminder of what happened. And so if you were baptized into Christ, just think about all that happened in that. And if you haven't been, don't be like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and be rejected by God because you refuse to obey the gospel. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. They didn't do that in the Bible. They just preached and you responded. But in our day, we become accustomed to, at the end of a sermon, sing a song. There's nothing wrong with that. So we're going to do that, give you an opportunity to repent, rededicate, place a membership, give your life to Christ, whatever your need is. If it's just prayer, we can do that too. And Earl will be receiving you here.